Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers, and tonight's conversation is with Ray Kammer, Director, National Institute of Standards and Technology. Well, Ray, in this segment, let's talk about managing NIST. You spent most of your career there, so what was the office like when you arrived, and what changes did you initiate after becoming director?
I had a very interesting opportunity after I stopped being the CFO of the Department of Commerce. For 2 months before I was confirmed, I couldn't work at NIST because I was waiting to be confirmed and I was done being CFO. We now had a permanent one. I realized that I would probably be a director for about 3 years. It's a political job. When it's over, you leave. That's the Constitution. And I planned for that. So I wanted to get the most I could out of the 3 years. And I articulated 5 challenges for the staff, which I have repeated very regularly to the staff. The first of these was to make sure that NIST had the best measurement and standards laboratories in the world. And we talked a little bit about that earlier. The second was to focus on creating a level playing field for product standards in the United States. Our economy buys and sells goods by voluntary product standards that are specifications of products. In the international marketplace, those tend to be very Eurocentric. The United States didn't pay the attention it should have 15 years ago. And I've spent a lot of time trying to create a national consensus on a national strategy, and now we're approaching the ISO and the IEC, which are the international standards bodies, and we're asking for a more level playing field. The third challenge was to resolve the political controversy surrounding the Advanced Technology Program. Some Republicans feel that it's an inappropriate intrusion into the marketplace, and the advocates of the program think that it's the best way to encourage the private sector to invest in high-risk and, we hope, high-payoff technology. The fourth challenge that I articulated was the increasing the reach of the Manufacturing Extension Partnership. At the time I started as director, we were working with about 15,000 companies a year, and that's out of roughly 400,000 in the United States. We're up to about 30,000 a year now. We're beginning to use the internet, and that's going to be the key to getting full reach. And then finally, I wanted to add 2 categories to the Baldrige Award, 1 in healthcare and 1 in education. We've done that. We've had the first competition. While there weren't any winners, I think over time there will be.
The last 2 you described had measurable outcomes, and you indicated how you were doing relative to those. How about the first 3? Those were somewhat broader and perhaps less tangible at some point.
Well, in the case of the measurement and standards laboratories and making sure they're the best in the world, I've done 45 benchmarks at this point by different attributes. And for each one, I have a table that shows us where we stand vis-a-vis the rest of the world. And in most cases, I'm happy to report, we stand in first place. Of course, you have to keep running pretty hard to stay there. The second and third objectives are much more qualitative, as you said. But we now have, after 3 difficult years of debate, concurred upon national standards strategy for the United States, where all of the stakeholders in the United States have agreed to it, and we're just about to approach the ISO and the IEC. So I can say that there's progress, although the outcome is probably still years away. And in the case of the ATP program resolving controversy, it's still controversial. I've tried, but I don't think I've been as successful there as I wanted to be.
Earlier you mentioned that you have your own annual authorization, the annual appropriation, and you're also headed by a presidential appointee. I wonder how these unique characteristics help NIST meet its challenges.
It gives us a visibility we would not otherwise have. There are many fine laboratories in the government system, national labs, but they tend to be run either by career people or by contractors. And as a result, they don't have separate authorizations. They don't have the kind of congressional visibility that we do. We actually, from 1901 to 1954, we only had 1 piece of legislation. From 1954 to 1965, we had 2 added. From 1965 till now, we've had 150 additional assignments given to us because of congressional interest in us. It helps us stay relevant. It helps us stay valuable to the American society, and that's important.
Yeah. Earlier, we talked about how it enabled you to attract employees you might otherwise not be able to. Are there any other advantages that...
I think the autonomy, the ability to make decisions... I'm very fortunate. My bosses in Congress, my bosses in the White House, my bosses in the Department of Commerce feel very comfortable that it's appropriate for us to set our own technical agenda, and they expect to hear what the results are, but they are very comfortable with letting us do that.
Let's talk about the employees at NIST. What are you doing differently today than what you may have done in the past?
We now have a leadership and management development program to train the next generation of leaders of the agency. That's relatively new. You could say it's too late for us to have been early, but it is relatively new. We just did an employee survey of all of the staff, and we asked a lot of questions that are asked in the private sector so we could benchmark ourselves against the private sector by asking the same questions. I'm happy to report that 85% of our staff responded with a 4 or a 5, which means they agree or agree very strongly to the statement that I am proud to work at NIST. We also have started doing 360-degree performance evaluations, which in a scientific agency where most people are a little concerned about the things like that. It's sort of intimidating. This has been a bit of a challenge to get going, but it's working, and I think it's creating value.
Well, I was going to say, a 360 survey is often a big cultural change. How long did it take to roll that out?
We're still rolling. We have probably 40% of the staff now participating in 360, and everybody else is committed to adding it before the end of this calendar year. We're trying to do it off of the normal appraisal cycle, which for us runs from October 1st to September 30th, because I think that just raises the stakes too much. You're right, it is a cultural change. It's a big cultural change for us, but it's worked in the places we've tried it, and people prefer it once they've done it.
And what led you to develop the leadership and management training you described?
We tend to promote people into management because of their proficiency as scientists and engineers, and then discover that there is not necessarily a correlation. In fact, sometimes there's an anti-correlation between being a good scientist and being a good manager. If you're a measurement expert, you should have a low tolerance for ambiguity, for instance. You don't want the number plus or minus a little bit. You want the number. I find a good manager has to have a pretty high tolerance for ambiguity. Whenever you're dealing with people, there's going to be ambiguous circumstances.
Mm-hmm. And I've read that you talk about NIST valuing leadership, teamwork, and innovation. How are these qualities encouraged and even rewarded at NIST?
We have a very active recognition program. We also nominate our staff for a lot of external awards. Many of our staff have been honored by being inducted into the National Academy of Sciences or the National Academy of Engineers. We even have one Nobel Prize winner. And I have a sense of optimism that we have other people who are competitive for Nobel Prizes. One of the things I do personally is I send a lot of handwritten notes to people when they've, you know, accomplished something, maybe even something that everybody else doesn't know about. I visit people a lot, and I tell them I think they're doing a good job if I feel that's the case. We promote. We have a pay system that's performance-based as well. It has a cap on it that's probably lower than I wish it was, but up to that cap, people can be promoted quite rapidly. In fact, you can make about a 50% change in somebody's salary in 2 years.
And what are some of the other challenges managing employees at NIST?
I think one of the most important ones is keeping up with technology. People respect people at NIST in our culture if they know what they're talking about. And it's real important to make sure that, for me personally, that I stay current enough that I'm aware of what's going on. I think it's also a big challenge to deal with the shrinking generations of technology. Now, 8 months for a generation of software, 18 months for a microprocessor. The most complicated thing mankind makes, which is a jet turbine engine, because it's highly regulated as well as using very sophisticated materials, software, electronics. 29 months now from design to delivery. That's a terrible challenge for everybody. And it also means sometimes we're going to bet on the wrong horse, which is hard in our culture to accept. I'm investing in three different technology visions for electronics for the next generation. Two of them are going to be wrong.
Baseball player. I was going to ask you, you talked about the need to sort of keep abreast of changing technology. Does that translate into a need to bring new people in and kind of keep some churning going so that you have
Yes, we deal with that in several ways. Our staff turnover is less than 5% for our technical professional staff. So one of the strategies that we use, in addition to our staff of employees, there's about 1,200 people that work at NIST who are not in our employ. They come from university, they come from private companies, they come from overseas, and they work with us and they bring new ideas in and then they go away and new people come. It's a way of having some intellectual ferment, which is an important thing in a research environment.
Well, great. And it's time for a break. We'll be right back with more of the Business of Government Hour.